We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Hi, welcome back. It's the Dan Burley Show live here on Truth Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Phone Show. And my co-host is here, John Alexopoulos. John, are you there?
Hi, Dan. Sorry to be so late.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Have you got, like, a website or a phone number or a address we can mail to make a petition for Mr.
Pastor Alamo.
Pastor Alamo.
I want to ask Jane, do you have a website or anything that we could do to put together, a petition, like John had said, to get people to help here?
Yes, you can contact us at alamoministries.com. That's A-L-A-M-O, ministries.com. Our address is P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. And we have a 24-hour prayer line that also can be called. That is 479-782-7370.
And I want to say, folks, from where I stand, and I think John will feel the same way, the next court hearing that they have, please attend if you can hear this. Please attend the next court meeting because, see, if we stand together in this, then we'll have a major win. Because, again, there's got to be something done, folks. You know, how people are handling law enforcement, what they're doing in regards to how they handle children, in regards to so-called neglect, abuse cases and things in regards to investigation. John, you want to say something on that? What is your feeling?
Well,
John,
to fight the system, you got to get a little dirty with them sometimes, get some dirt on them. So something like the nature of, okay, we know that they have printed the Amaros. We know they're sitting in the banks already. So there's a paper trail of publishing. There's a paper trail of someone in the bank knowing those bank notes are already there. So that's already an extortion of them manipulating the money ahead of us and creating this depression. So is anybody out there that can pull up that information and make it public with us so that we can take it in front of the pastor of Alano, Alamo, to make issue of a bank robbery in progress or a tyranny against the estates in progress and attach it to his program, more or less, to where we bring that information out and air it because it's something that will be aired. They're airing it to put dirt on him. So let's air this alongside of that to make them have egg on face and to possibly want to get away from it and just get away from him as we bring people that would possibly be able to bring down this false depression that they're creating onto us. It's like fighting fire with dirtiness with dirtiness in a way, but it's not. I mean, it's our own survival in another essence, really.
Well, John Doe, you want to say something on that? What is your feeling?
Well, Pastor Alamo has been the most vocal exposer of corruption, wickedness in our government, in our world, and that is out there. His radio broadcast is worldwide, and he definitely tells the story of how the devil is working in this world. And this is really why he's being picked on, because they want to shut him up. The devil can't stand the Pastor Alamo's voice, going out over the world.
George, do you want to say something on that, too?
Yeah, of course, because when I heard your testimony, how the pastor had reached out to you, and I think about how I've seen that so much over the years, that someone that's reaching out with kindness and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not looking for reward from any man. And I've seen so many similar cases of that over the 32 years that I've been here. And that it surely, it would just have to be a devil, the devil, that would want to shut Pastor Lamo's mouth, that would want to shut all the kind works that he's doing, and that would do everything in his power to discredit and to malign his name. And you can see it just as plain as day, because I've lived it, and I've seen over the years all the people just like you that Pastor Lamo has helped. And I really agree that the devil really wants to just shut.
You know, it was amazing, though. You know, he didn't know me, and I talked to someone, and I told him what was going through, and I just didn't know what to do. And the other individuals, too, it was John Alstott was here, Mike Katz. There's some people out here that have been great individuals and friends to me, because, again, sometimes I won't go because something in my heart says I can't, because there's other things that I'm trying to accomplish, because there's a lot of people out here hurting. A lot of people hurting for different reasons and causes. And I'm trying to do what I can through the little broadcast I have to let people know that it's okay. Because, see, God doesn't like people being harmed, especially women and children. And I mean, it's just heart-rending for me to get out and go leave in the morning and go to the bus stop. I'm barely existing in a way, but I'm hanging in there, and John will testify for that. But I go out here and I see 40 people, homeless people with backpacks, and they have to walk 30 to 40 miles just to go somewhere and lay on a pad for another day. And what has happened is Pastor Lamo, with his wife Susan, when she was alive, ministered to people and gave them hope and aspiration and gave them something that other people haven't really looked at. Because, see, when you label a person that's on the street as homeless, and you label them as homeless, and you make them feel that their work is not of worth or value, then that person stays in the mindset of being homeless. They stay in the mindset that they can't be anybody. They feel that they are lesser than anyone else, so they don't want to do anything to better what their condition. Because why should they? When somebody comes over and says a kind word, and even if you give somebody a dollar or whatever, buy them a burger or whatever, it's a beginning of a process. And it's not buying it saying that, oh, well, you know, I'm giving it to you because you're homeless. It's giving them a situation, you're giving them help, and then you're saying, talking to them and ministering to them and finding out what they're about. Because everybody out here's got a problem. So then the government that's supposed to be for us, using our tax dollars, decides that it's proper and just to come in to a place and take people's children by force with guns. So if something happened there at the ministry, say one of the kids accidentally moved too quickly when the guy had a gun on him, and the gun went off, and the child gets shot, then what? How about the children that were in Waco that were inside underneath the ground in a bunker trying to pray to the God, Lord, that Jesus, please help us, and they go back some type of tank-like vehicle over the top of this hole and then shoot some canister down there that turns into like napalm and burns some cliff to cliff. And then nobody looks at it other than the fact that, oh, they were trying to do something to help the children out. What kind of mindset is that? And that's on my dime. I don't want my money spent like that. I don't want people's kids taken away. Help the people. Think about it, folks. You're sitting in your home. They can come to your door, too. They did that during Germany, in Adolf Hitler's Germany. Women were sitting in their homes. And they got the knock on the door, too, with guns. It's sad.
We're John, doing it today, in Iraq. Nothing's changed. They did nothing to us. If anything, Saddam sat on the oil board of cartel with Bush and his friends, and he somehow they just twisted the dime around. I don't think he's dead. I think they hung one of his lookalikes, and he's out somewhere. And this game is just being played. Hey, they just set up a brand new GM car plant in Russia. Yet we're fighting Russia and Georgia. That's, you know, it's no different than the Farben meetings that developed World War II with Bush and Brown, Banks, and that kind of thing, and Hitler. We had another Farben meeting just come up on a G20 talks with Bush and the Brown, the head of England now, which is probably still the bank system, and the IMF, and a coup against the United States. It's not maybes. These things are being perpetrated. The Atlantic meeting in August, the General Markov, or I believe is his name, he announced that there were going to be a new government, a new system here in this world. So that means, you know, they put Obama in there because I think they put someone that they think they can take down now that he's a black president. It'll probably be easier to eliminate him and make him look bad. So as they change and go and cripple our Constitution, it'll be easier to take him out, is my opinion. But we're in Iraq, we're in Iran, they're headed for Iran, and really, some of the leaders of Iran, we've interviewed them, they've been taught here in the United States, and we've set up the whole system. There's nothing going on over there other than they're vulcanizing us against ourselves. It's no different than bringing the Mexicans in this country, taking away our jobs, bringing in their culture that vulcanizes our education system because you can't teach two different languages in the same school and have anybody learn. So they're downing our education system by doing stuff like that. And they award them with housing. They award them with medical. And yet our own people, heck with you. It's just a full vulcanization that's going on. And we're seeing the corruption of it. And as they went into like Waco, those people were religious, starting to become self-sufficient, were teaching a way that was going to destroy the ability for them to control them, and so they had to stop that. They also were developing them morally and spiritually where they were going to be able to do things because as you build your moral status, you get abilities above the normal person. You get abilities to be able to talk to God. You get abilities to look at the sun and get good communications. You get abilities to direct you in the proper direction, and the evilness didn't want that happening. So they had to take that whole culture out right down to the kids because those kids were started right. And those kids were going to have abilities that they didn't want them to have, so they annihilated them.
And the thing is amazing. How do these people live with themselves? I mean, how could Janelina live with herself knowing that there were kids that were killed under her order? How could she live with herself? And then come on laughing or some show and, you know, do this little dance and little happy thing. You know, when she knows that the order went out and there were kids that were murdered in Waco, how could you live with yourself? How can you live with yourself when there was out here in DuPage County, a man sitting in his home, and there was an allegation made by some woman? And that's another thing. Anybody can call an allegation. Anybody can call anything on the phone, and the Children's Family Services believe it. They don't even investigate it. You can't get the person's name, don't know who the heck they are. They make allegations, and they come in and do all kinds of stuff to you and your family. And if it's a falsified allegation, then you have a period of time you can go and write to them and let them know that it's a falsified allegation, and it's up to them to see if they want to go and check out the person that made the allegation in the first place.
You've got 1 minute, Deanne, to make an announcement for anybody that wants the website or so again.
Oh, sure. And then we're going back to Blog Talk Radio. Jane, you want to give that website out again here?
Certainly. That's alamoministries.com, A-L-A-M-O, ministries.com. Our address you can write to is P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. And our 24-hour witnessing and prayer line is 479-782-7370.
And the thing, you know, folks, I'm going to say really briefly, just like Justin, we have a minute here on Truth Radio, but we're still on Blog Talk and now and also on Phone Show. This can happen to you at any time, in any time, in any spot. So please take this and share it with others and call up that ministry and call Arkansas and ask them what they are doing, why are they doing this to Pastor Alamo. We'll be back up here on Truth Radio on Monday. Good night. And
you're
we're still
with,
on.
You're the one with Truth Radio.
Okay. John, hold on. We're going back to Blog Talk. Hold on.
Truman Burst, Master Herbalist.
Anybody got everybody? Hello? Hello? Have we got anybody? Hello?
Hi, John.
I got you.
Okay, we're missing our guest. We're hoping to call back in. But, you know, look at this. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, folks, this is just totally, totally ridiculous. 100 kids are looking for a family. They got to scatter. They have housing. They don't have housing now. 20 kids are put somewhere else, and the families that were on, the three individuals were on, they were loving parents concerned to get their children back, and these kids are in some type of custody pool on your dime and my dime. Why?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've got some of the numbers written down here. I could look them up, of what it costs to house somebody outside of the family, and it's a huge number. So the day that they shut that, like the down in Texas when they shut down that one religious center, they had several hundred children they took out. I'll bet that cost in the millions of dollars. In fact, I'll look it up right now because it was just huge. When you have a housing, it's like $750 to $1,100 a month per client. Of child foster care, and so just multiply that by a couple hundred, and that's not including the older, the parents and the mothers and the fathers and all that, and it's just an amazing number. So why did they think a couple things? Wouldn't it have been easier to maybe send in and say, okay, you've got a policing action there, you're not happy with something, but you could have sent a couple people there to monitor what was going on and say, okay, this is okay, this isn't okay, and let those people take care of themselves to some extent, maybe be on top of them of saying, okay, this is unacceptable or whatever, but you wouldn't have had to take them all off site. You wouldn't have had to start feeding them. You wouldn't have had to start trucking them and dividing the families up and all that kind of thing. I mean, there was, I'm not sure if there was a better answer, you know? I'm not coming up with that number here. I should have it right in front of me. So anyhow, just in the idea of it, you know, I've got to pay my bills. And some days there's things that I do that I don't like that I do because, for instance, I was in the waste whey business. And the farmland was disappearing, and so our land base of where we could go with the whey was disappearing. And in the interim of that, I had to put too much whey down in too little an area on my farm to the fact that I didn't have anywhere else to go with it. But yet the product was still coming, the land was disappearing, so next thing we were starting to overuse it on our property. It wasn't something I wanted to do, it was being forced into it. And as it was, I ended up giving the contract after years of being in business. Here we are in the numbers. Okay, just for a client per month is $670 for one client. This number is about 2 years old in New York State. There's a $120 allowance on top of that, so that's $790. And if you have to let them go or for a day off or something, it's they have to pay $6 and I can't read it. $6 and something an hour for an extra. When, like, say if they have to have a day off or whatever. On for like phys ed or something as an extracurricular activity, that's money on top of that. And also the $120 allowance, that could go as high as $730 a month on a hard client. So you start out with a base of $670, and then on top of that you add $120 to $730. So normally a client of an individual is $790 to $1,400 per month per one client. That's a lot of money. And times 200, 1,000 times 200 would be what, 200,000 a month?
Well, they have also, like, for instance, if you have a child, and the child might be a crack child, you know, somebody that's on crack cocaine, and that child has substance in their system, they will pay $2,000 a week for that child, for him to be facilitated in somebody's home. That doesn't even include the clothing stipend and all these other things that they will include in to the cost for taking care of the child in the foster care setting. If the child has been in the hospital, it's even more than that. Some of the children are $750 a day. Some of them go to $2,000 a day, too, in regards to taking care of them through the foster dollars that are available. Now, the thing is that wouldn't it be interesting if they had given that type of money to the parent that is hurting and trying to design a situation to make the parent into a viable person if they are indeed involved with some type of neglect, instead of putting a person in a situation of criminalization and taking the children away from them and putting them in a worsened environment. And there are, again, there are environments that are a lot better. Don't get me wrong. There are good foster homes out there. But the majority of the children in the areas that we're talking about, they don't fit into that mold. I saw a kid, it bothered the heck out of me. There was this little kid, and I was on the south side, and this kid was living in a home where this guy had a center for men that had alcohol problems. And the boy was older than 11 years old, and he was in there, and he was white. Now, he went in there because the foster person that was taking care of him didn't want them in her house. So she allowed him to go across the street and live in the derelict man's house and to collect money on that kid. That's the type of thing. And then if you report it, you get that. You get, boy, my God, don't report this stuff because they come in after you. It's insider. You know, but there's so much money in that. So much freaking money. You wouldn't even believe how much money these people are involved in this foster care racket. Then there's the situation where you had the folks that were involved with the Franklin cover-up. Yeah, folks, you forgot about that. Senator John DeCamp came out with the Franklin cover-up. I think he's up to, volume 28 or something like that now. He has gone in and kept making an addition to the Franklin cover-up every year because there's more and more case material of children being forced into foster care, and they're finding out these children are being neglected and abused far worse than whatever was going on, if it was going on, in their homes. So what's the point of doing this? Some of these kids vanish. They disappear. They end up in white slavery rings. Slave trades. But we allow our government to take our dollars and use those dollars to fund this, whatever you want to call it. And then, like John said, you can send one or two people in there to monitor. What's wrong with that? Why not, if it's a situation of a church organization, send some people in there and see what's going on and just have them sit there and watch. What's wrong with that? Is it more cost-effective to do that or have somebody come in there with high-level rifles and guns and scare family members half to death and put them in a situation that they're fearful, totally fearful and scared to even show themselves on the street because they don't know if the police will lock them away? And then they kind of just count themselves and don't know if they're doing things right or wrong because you put this vacuum around them that because they want to worship God their way or they want to go into religion their way, you're controlling what people think, say, and want to do, which is basically unconstitutional. John, you want to say something on that?
Well, you know, they were saying that there was too many young girls or too young girls marrying the older men. And you could have...
No, that was the other group.
You could have separated that somehow. Yeah, that was the other group in Texas.
That was the other group in Texas. They were doing
Texas.
That was the Mormon group. And the reason they were doing that, again, they took all those kids and they put them into wherever they put them in to, and then later found out they couldn't do it, and they returned all the kids back to the family. So what was the point?
Well, not only that, it's easy to say something like you say. Anyone can call it in, and next thing you know, you've got a blemish of wrongness that nothing happened, or it wasn't as extreme as you would say, or anywhere near as negative as the outcome of what they're acting on to separate families and create the hardship. Just in the idea of trauma to a young child is lifelong controlling of that child's full emotions and how they'll act the rest of their life. Mind control, a lot of them, they take control. They get them using drugs and those kind of things. And next thing, they're able to manipulate them. And they use them to manipulate other children and to catch them and to help control them. And so anyhow, in the interim of this factor of from being from the apple of a tree you're from, of your same family, you have certain characters. And your family knows those characters. And so they're able to deal with them easier because they've dealt with them all their lives. Now, someone coming in from the outside can learn those traits after a while, but to initially just take into them and not adversely, I wouldn't say it would be a nice, easy turnover to just take all that away, especially from young children, take them away from their mothers and whatnot. There's no way that that could be considered a positive action. And so anyhow, as far as the young girls and the marrying the older men, that could have been stopped right on site, and there could have been some issues brought about and like I say, regulated. And I think that there has been a lot of
But on that note, that was at the other church. That wasn't anything about this one. It had nothing to do with this one.
Well, Tony Orlando Alamo, it was a falsehood. They're just putting
something out
there.
Well, Tony Alamo, the reason they went in there was it was, okay, it's just like any the group or organization or whatever. You have people that are homeless out there. You know, got some people out there that you don't know if the government sent them in to whatever, watch or set people up. You know, they do that. So, and that goes back to these organizations that they shut down. And I'm going to talk about this thing with the weathermen, too, to explain, because like I said, I happen to be kicking back and talking to those folks and getting the other side of the story, which now nobody wants to talk about that. But, you know, the whole issue is this. Bottom line, government infiltrates agencies, church groups, organizations, because once people organize, then that's a threat. It could be a situation, it might be 10 of them now, and it might be 100 million later on. So in order to make sure there is not going to be a problem of maybe a government coup or a takeover, they always send somebody in to watch these groups. Hoover did it nonstop. You had other ones. They had agent provocateurs. They will go in and they will sit inside someplace and they will act like a role of being a part of the group or organization. Some of these people are the most boisterous people you want to run into face the planet. They will mimic somebody in there and get louder and talk more than anybody else. And those are the ones that are these agent provocateurs. And they come into these places and they sit there and they do what they're told to do because, A, they may have drug charges on them. They might be doing anywhere from 10 to 20 years in jail. They don't want to do that. So what they do is instead of going to jail, they compromise whoever the government tells them to do. So they sit in there and they try to create an environment to cause a situation where a place could be set down. They will send women in. Women, they will tell them to sleep with men. You know, whatever it takes to dock out of agency. Or it could be a church group. It could be an organization. They send somebody in because that's what they do. They do, have done this from day one, and they have gotten more sophisticated with this craziness. Now, with Pastor Alamo, again, they went in back in 91. They tried to set him down on gun charges. There were no guns. They went to David Koresh. That was the only mistake he had. He had guns at Camp Divinion, and that was the reason why they were able to come in there. But when they send people in and there is absolutely no gun, their kids are clean, well-fed, they don't look like they have sustained any injuries, And then they have some rogue people saying and making claims and allegations of something. So if you see a handful of people making allegations, and then you go in and view what you see from inside, and you don't see those allegations, who's speaking the truth? I mean, what do you do? You go with the few out there that are saying things, or you go with the many that are there and that are clean and well-fed and well-behaved. Who do you take the word from? And then you have those folks outside that just call stuff in. They might not like you. They might just, you know, have and they'll just dial phone numbers and just try to ruin your character.
Well,
or send emails out. Or do whatever they have to do to ruin who you are.
Why don't we do like they do with the presidents? Hey, we had closure after 5 years of investigation. Someone got $40 million, and it was all factual that he and Lewinsky had an affair, and then he lied about it. And what did they do? Absolutely nothing.
And then this president just let a whole huge amount of drug dealers. You know, what's that? Well, you know, I don't understand it. And then on the back end, they're saying, well, there's people over here, you know, and this, that, and the other. And then they would rather give your kids Ritalin. If your kids get upset, because, and this is what they do in foster care a lot, too. Not all foster homes are like this, but there's a lot out there to do. The government will come in and a child acts up because he's upset because he's not with his parents. And he cries too much, he's too emotional, or whatever. The government can order drugs. So that means the kid that wasn't doing anything might have Ritalin, or might have Prozac, might have anything in their system. Now, currently, as you look at the stories being told right now, how many kids on these drugs, like Ritalin and these things, have been basically construed as causing places like Columbine and things like that to happen? So it's cause and effect to the maximum. And the thing is that we don't see what's going on because we're so busy spending money and doing what we can with that little inner circle just to survive. We don't see the bigger picture, and we don't care until it hits us. And it's coming very close to our door because if they're doing it now, folks, to these folks over there, they're going to be doing it more massively because I don't understand why they got military buildup and dealing with children and family services. This isn't the only case of this, folks. This guy was sitting naked in his home. There was a little kid in there. He was in the bathtub. This guy was in his bathtub, and the kid was in the house, and some girl he was going with or had gone in. It wasn't even the baby's mother. And wasn't attached to this dude in any kind of way. She calls up the police and says, he's abusing me. So next thing, a SWAT team came in, kicked the dude's door in, and they came in and wrestled him down the floor. But he had no gun, no weapon, no clothes on, wrestled him down the floor, twisted his arm behind his head, and shot him point blank in the head and killed him on the Children's Family Service call. Wasn't attacking anybody? He wasn't going after the kid, wasn't doing anything. So what's that? So now if we're okay with that, folks, hey, when they come up there and run through your house like that, who's gonna come and rescue you?
Well, that's the time knowing a gun and just decide that you're gonna live that day at least a day longer because they'll be bound to shoot you a mass instruction afterwards. But if you see that kind of happening to yourself, I don't have a better answer. I mean, you got to stand up and stand your own. I mean, if they break in your door, there's no reason. That's why Waco, he had guns. I mean, it's our second constitutional law because we recognize, you know, in Russia when they started going in and they had the heavy weaponry, they had nothing to fight back with. So they just died or they had to run to the dark. And, you know, that's the Second Amendment. We recognize
and,
that we need to arm ourselves.
I never mentioned one. It happened to me. It happened to you. It happened to my cats. Okay, my cat's daughter had, anorexia. Okay, he couldn't do anything. That's a disease that, you know, that is a mental disease, and he can't do nothing with that other than take her to the doctor, which he was trying to do, and they came up and wrote him up. You know, she had anorexia. You know, because he was doing my broadcast. You know, that's the reason why they wrote him up. They didn't bother him until he did my show. And then what happened behind that? The two guys that were running DCFS out here, well, they had to resign. They didn't lock them up. They didn't investigate them not the way we're talking about. They were involved with having sex with their male children that they had. That was in the news. The guys that headed up the Department of Children and Family Services out here, both of them, they had foster kids. And both of them were under allegations that they had sex with the kids that they had in foster care. And they were just given the measure of writing a letter and resigning. So you go figure. What's the point? Then I had a situation happen to me years ago, John. I was sitting in an apartment building, okay? I had the heat blasting. My kids were in the room looking at cable television. My son went out to do the laundry and was coming back. I was supposed to go to a police meeting that night because I was hooked up with going to the police department and their meetings, CAP program meetings and stuff like that. And I decided, I didn't call them, I just decided not to go because I was sick. So I was laying there and all of a sudden my kids were laying there, you know, with the lights out in the living room looking at TV and everything was fine, and I heard, I said, oh, my God, what's that? And then I saw a floodlight go through the window. And I was like, huh, what's that? And another floodlight went through another window, and then I heard this foghorn again. I said, oh, my God, fire. So I jumped up. I was running around. My kids were running around. And then the next thing I heard, somebody was taking a big, huge device, banging my door in, trying to break my door in. I went to the door and I said, what is it? Police, open up. It was them. I asked them, what the hell? What's going on here? Oh, we got a call. I said, call for what? Oh, they got a call. You're living in an abandoned building and there's no heat, there's nothing on, and you're beating your kid. I said, what? Where? They broke my door in half, folks. My kids were sitting there looking at TV, minding their business. I was laying down. My son, my oldest son, was doing laundry. I'd never hit my kids. And they broke my door in. And then they said, oops, and walked out. I could have had a heart attack, died of a stroke. My kids could have died of a stroke. They were running around like they didn't know what was going on. And this was on the north side of Chicago. And the whole thing, folks, is I was abused. I was abused. I was neglected. All the things that they say that they represent, I went through. And at the same time, I went to the Children Family Service Center that was over on Montrose in Chicago with the rest of the people that lived in Lakeview, and they were complaining the fact that the kids that were in there were gang members, and they were running out of there, going out and vandalizing people's homes all on the north side of Chicago and running back up in the DCFS Center. Now, the DCFS Center was run by a Catholic priest. And he put this together out of the goodness of his heart because he was trying to help the children out. And then what happened? The state threw everybody and anything down into his center. He had so many people, he couldn't control it, and he didn't have enough people working for him to control all the kids he was getting in the two centers he had. They scandalized him and got him out. And then when I mean, if you knew what they do, it's an abomination. I was down in the city one time. It was a woman that had six kids. She was down in the city crying. And she came up and she was talking to me and she told me what's going on. I said, no way. And she said they came in, they put an orange sign on her door saying that she had been evicted. And she went in there, all her stuff was gone. And I said, well, how did that happen? And she said, well, they came in there because she caught her landlord, who was a sheriff, trying to have sex with her 12-year-old daughter. And she called the police, and he had clout. So he called up his sheriff clout, and they came in, arrested her, put her in jail, and they took all their kids to DCFS. And then they went and put a eviction sign on the door, which was an illegal eviction, because I went down there because I'm a former deputy clerk. I pulled the record, and there was absolutely nothing in court with her name on it. No eviction, no court proceeding, nothing. I took her to the police department. They swore to me that they were going to try to get her back in. I told her to meet them on the corner. They never showed up because the cop, the sheriff had clout. And she never, ever got her kids back. She went to court. They orchestrated her in court. The state's prosecuting attorney told her if she didn't plead guilty, she would never, ever see her kids again. They cut off her food stamps, cut off her assistance money. She ended up with no dime and ended up in a mental ward in one of the state-run facilities where they made more money off of her. Again, I tried to do what I could to help her out, and I felt real badly because I met her, and I met some of her kids, and it was a nightmare. Even the woman that was working for the Department of Children's Human Services in Chicago, she and another social worker, we were all there trying to help her. And she got thrown all up in the system, and they got just totally homeless over some nonsense. And somebody was feeding off of her kids because, again, like John said, and I was telling you before, the numbers are great at how much money they receive on each kid. John, what do you think about that?
Well, the two DFSS people that were found playing with the little boys, it's kind of like the priest found playing with the little boys. I don't know if that's always true or if they do that to vulcanize them. It's like Alamo. They've said that he's been playing with little children wrongly and had thrown them in jail for such. And so
they're not saying that. Well, the thing is, they're not saying that. There's no charges. Nothing.
There's no charges on him.
Nothing. All they're doing is they got him locked up.
The point I'm making is a lot of times it's like the head of the Philippines, Marcos. They said he was an evil, vicious dictator. And I've seen a tape on Mr. Marcos, and I'm going to tell you that he was a man that prays. He was a man that when they invented the free hydrogen fuel cell to drive a car and to heat your house, and they were trying to get it out to the world, and the IMF bank, central banks wouldn't let them do it, that they vulcanized and made him look like an evil dictator when that was the farthest thing from the truth. And
it's just like when I do my programs, too, you know, I'll say something on the show about somebody, you know, talk to them on the show and stuff, and then somebody will take something I said and twist it around and make it useful for whatever their a plot or game plan is. I don't know why these people do this other than, again, what happens? When you say too much and you're a threat to them, they do things to harm you in regards to the realm of you looking good to the public. So they do anything they can to cause your name to go down the tube. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a situation that they'll say, well, I saw her back in 1910 and she did. It could be anything that somebody could say, and it could be false allegations. But once you put it out there, people believe it. There's a thing that's not even that important floating around on the Internet. Oh, Deanne Burley's a Republican. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm independent. But it's like, oh, Deanne Burley was No. This is the type of things they do. Or a situation like going back to the weathermen, those people that were involved back in the 60s. They don't talk about they were infiltrated. They don't talk about what happened to those folks. They had a powerful turn and put them in a situation that they had people in there. Women were going with other people's husbands and things, and they were all coming in there because they were agent provocateurs set up by the government to disband them because they were anti-war. But today, if you hear them, oh, they're terrorists. They're terrorists. So the anti-war people today, 20 years in the future, they're going to be called terrorists too because that's how we think. Because those people 20 years ago that were anti-war, they were yippies, hippies, and they got the reason why the yippies and hippies got the weathermen together because the yippies and hippies were getting hit in the head, dragged off, hit with mace, and thrown in the police departments. And the thing was that they decided to have an action group to prevent that from happening. They weren't armed like the Panthers. They were just the arms and legs to help these people from getting beat up and attacked. They were going Berkeley School. Some of these people are prominent kids people. Again, don't believe the hype. They tell you lies. Everything I've read recently in history has been altered. I've been involved with historical societies. I've sat on the board of different things. I have documentation of other stories and things that happened from sources that were real sources. My dad knew Thurgood Marshall. My dad knew Kennedy and Roosevelt and people inside the administration and stuff. First-hand knowledge and information. And stories get twisted and wrapped around and put to the way that the people want it to be good for them, not for you to benefit from the real knowledge. So wake up. Start getting involved and make a call to Pastor Amarmo's church. Talk to those folks down here. Find out what's going on and start making your voice heard because, again, that's their family. Your family's next. So we're going off the air, and I thank you very much for tuning in to the D.M. Broly Show tonight, and we'll be back here tomorrow night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time on both Blog Talk Radio and also on phone show, Now Live, and KU Band. I thank you, peace and love, and thank you for tuning in. John, thank you for coming on.
God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.